Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Tamara Chomsky, a child psychologist and author of Freeing Your Child from Negative Thinking. She's here to talk about how to help kids be resilient and bounce back from disappointment. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick, and hi, Tamar. Hi.
Hi, Lise.
Well, let's begin with how to help kids be resilient. What would your first piece of advice to parents about that topic be?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing is that kids are understanding that what has just happened for them, whether it's a game or a match, is one moment in their history. And so much of the time what makes kids not resilient or really get stuck is feeling like whatever just happened is reframes what their worth is or their value is from that one moment. And so, you know, if that's the way you're looking at a game and you lose, mm-hmm. you've lost all your value. And mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that kids get frustrated, want to quit, you know, don't, you know, think about working harder to get better because they already feel like it's a lost cause.
Ah, that's interesting. So what's a parent to do when a child thinks this way?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to get into a couple strategies in a second, but really, Lisa, the most important thing is that parents empathize with their child's point of view initially. Mm-hmm. That keeps the line of communication open.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a child's really devastated about something, and of course the parent wants to help them feel better, if a parent comes in trying to explain how the child's not seeing the situation right, what's going to happen is the child's just going to feel like they're not heard. And so empathizing doesn't mean agreeing. You know, if your child says, I'm the worst player who's ever been, it's really empathizing and agreeing that that's how they're feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
So saying, you know, I know you're so disappointed or this was really devastating to you. So that keeps the door open. And then you really start to help the child narrow down the loss to, you know, either to the moment of that's one game and there will be others, or looking at what went wrong that they're most upset about. Because once you do that, you have the direction of options for how a child might work to improve, and just to potentially to see what went right in the game as well. So you get you kind of shrink down the problem to something that's more manageable than, you know, I'm a terrible player and that's it.
Patrick, I'm interested in your comments about this.
Well, I wanted to jump in and ask a question. We've talked to some youth sports experts that like the idea of a cool down period, you know, whether it's a half an hour, an hour, or could it be even a day, you know, after an important competition. I'm wondering how your philosophy fits in with that. Do you think that's a good idea that, you know, you really don't try to approach your child to discuss what happened, even from that point of the empathizing with them, but you're just going to let it settle, because, you know, when you're playing sports and your heart rate's up and, you know, and you just went through, you know, a tough loss, you know, in the ninth inning of the game, sometimes there might be a period where you just got to let it settle, let your child come back to a resting state. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering about your views on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the volatility factor is an important one. You have the adrenaline flowing, and so I think that the idea of giving kids a chance to cool down makes sense. In my experience, it's maybe shorter than a day, although you know what? It may depend on the temperament of the child, too. You know, if you think about it, some people just naturally kind of get over things faster or ready to talk about things faster, and other people take longer. I think that the take-home message, though, that absolutely makes sense is, you know, you don't want to be the parent who, as soon as the car door closes, that you're micro-analyzing this game that is very painful potentially to your child. And, and kids have told me that directly, that they do wish that they could just, you know, drive home, and these are, you know, some kids just drive home and not have to do the instant replay, you know, play-by-play of what happened, because they're just trying to let themselves settle down. So,
well, and it gets even worse than that from some of the parents that we've talked to, where they're focused on every mistake that the child made rather than the play-by-play. You know, we call it the dreaded car ride home. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I like the idea of that you're empathizing with them, because to me it sounds like you're trying not to make any judgments at all, place any judgments on the athlete's performance, and you're just, as you say, you're not agreeing with them, but you're knowing that you're with them in some way, I guess.
Right, respecting their experience. But yeah, I think that to your point about the parents who are being so critical, that, you know, sometimes the kids who take it the hardest are already doing that number in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a parent to come in and do the same thing, you know, it's just in stereo and there's no escape. But even if kids aren't being overly harsh, you know, what is going to make a resilient athlete, I think, is both being able to manage and learn from the disappointments, but also to value their own skills and how they got there. And so, you know, having an open-ended conversation when the child's ready to talk, you know, hey, you know, what'd you think? What would you like about the game? What do you feel good about? So that's part of the discussion, too. Very important for kids to be able to see their strengths.
You said a lot of time kids will equate their worth with how they perform that day, and I see that a lot as well. So what is your approach there, or what is your solution? Because that sounds like a pretty ingrained challenge or issue going on.
What I think is so helpful is stepping out of the arena of what the child is thinking about themselves for a second, and applying the same harsh rule to their heroes in the sports world. You know, should so and so think the same thing about himself when he struck out, or, you know, when he fumbled? What do you think, that he should leave football altogether? You know, you kind of put it in that context, and kids are like, oh, no, that would, you know, no, of course not. So it's like, okay, well, so let's take a lesson, you know, from him. What, you know, what do you want to be saying to yourself there? So it shows that in sports, people are losing all the time. They're winning all the time, too. But that if athletes did equate their value with what happened on any given game, we wouldn't have any, you know, organized sports. People would be quitting right and left. So sometimes I call that long-distance learning, you know, taking it out of teaching the child about themselves by going to somebody else as an example and then bringing it back to the child.
Now, I like another one of your suggestions, which is separate the feelings from the facts and ditch the absolutes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm, sure. I mean, negative thinking is characterized by these absolutes of, I always do that. Things never work out for me. Everybody can do this. You know, I never can. So as soon as you hear those kinds of words, they're really red flags for not the facts, but really how the child is feeling about a situation. And so if you can separate those, you know, those two sort of categories when a child's saying that, you're going to, instead of saying, you know, that's not true, you might say, I know that's how you're feeling right now. Sometimes I feel that way when things don't go right. But what, you know, now let's look at what the facts are. Is it really that you never do such and such, or that really everybody is able to do that? So, again, you're not coming in challenging directly head on that, you know, what the child is saying, but you're helping them understand and kind of map out, when I say things like that, it's really how I'm feeling. Feelings are not, you know, reliable. They're temporary. Facts are the things that are, you know, that endure, that are lasting. And so you want to get back over to the factual side of the story.
Well, Tamara, you've been really helpful. This is really, it's very interesting to hear it from a child psychologist's viewpoint. And I hope that we can have you back to talk about other issues.
Oh, I would love to. And it was really interesting for me as well to hear about what your program, and it sounds like it's going to make a great difference for kids and parents.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.